Praise God. Don't forget children's church. Children, you're dismissed to children's church. Now, where is my stool at? Anybody seen my stool? Not the one in the bathroom either. Oh, okay. Yes, in the Sunday school class. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I had it in the Sunday school class. I was getting ready to say somebody was helping me out. I was helping me out. Yep. God is awesome. Now, I heard about an old farmer from North Carolina died and went to hell. And the devil really wanted to punish him, so he put him to work breaking up rocks with a sledgehammer. And to make it worse, he cranked up the temperature and humidity. After a couple of days, the devil checked in on the man to see if he was suffering adequately. But he found the farmer swinging the hammer and whistling a happy tune. The devil said, I don't understand this. I turned up the heat and it's humid. You're crushing rocks and sweating. Why are you so happy? And the man smiled, looked at the devil, said, well, it just reminds me of those hot, humid February days in North Carolina. It's just like home. Thank you, brother. Yep, thank you, bro. Yeah. So the devil decided to change things a bit, so he dropped the temperature and sent down driving rain and torrential wind, and soon hell was wet, a wet, muddy mess. But the farmer was happily slodging through the mud, pushing a wheelbarrow full of crushed rocks. And the devil questioned him again and said, and the man replied, this is great. He said, it's just like February back in North Carolina. It reminds me of working in the fields and planting. So the devil was completely baffled. So in desperation, he tried one last ditch effort. He made the temperature plummet. Hell was blanketed with snow and ice. But when he checked in on the farmer, he couldn't believe his eyes. The man was dancing and swinging and twirling the sledgehammer in glee. He said, how can you be so happy now? Don't you realize that it's 40 below, that hell is froze over? And the farmer laughed and said, I told you. I'm from North Carolina, and now hell is frozen over. Don't you know what that means? It means that Carolina is ahead of Duke in the standings. Yeah, old Carolina and Duke. Yeah, praise God. You know, everybody has their year, and Carolina, this seems to be their year, and Duke seems to be having a rough time, but that's okay. Because everybody has a rough time from time to time. Anybody ever had a rough time? Matter of fact, it worked out good yesterday because I watched that game with Duke and Louisville and watched Louisville get a technical foul, and all of a sudden they start scoring points like crazy. We get a technical foul and we quit. So to make things better, we had another technical foul and quit even more. Amen. But again, I was looking through and I was thinking about that and thinking about today's message. You know, today's message actually is about that when things are going good, then all of a sudden they go haywire. Let me get my little gadget here. Praise God. Thank God for little gadgets. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to talk today about being fruitful, forgetful, and fruitful. Now, I'm not talking about the same kind of forgetful like some of us are right now. How many forgot it was Sunday? But if they forgot it's Sunday, more than likely they're not here right now. Also, how many in here may have forgot some things lately? Go to the grocery store for a specific item, come back, and you got every item but the one you went for? Am I the only one that does that? I had to go to Walmart twice yesterday for one item. Amen. So, I couldn't remember what I was supposed to be getting because I got there, and when I got home and drove in the yard, I said, oops. Yeah, so that's not the kind of forgetful I'm talking about. How many in here has ever been crushed, literally, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually crushed? something hit you so hard you had no idea it was coming. You didn't think it was going to, you never thought it would happen to you like that, but it did. That's what we're going to talk about today, brother. We're going to talk about, if you look up here and see these two guys up here, you're going to say, who in the world are these two guys? This is Ephraim and Manasseh. This is Joseph's two sons. Joseph is the guy we're going to talk about, but we're going to talk about on the other end of the spectrum. After he's gone through all the things he went through when he had his children, how he named them. So get your Bibles out. Turn to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. Stand for the reading of the word. God is so awesome. All the time. Amen. Yep, God is an awesome God. God takes care of us more than we take care of Him. He looks out for us and we're not even looking out for ourselves. How many here have a tendency to not even look out for yourself? Amen. So turn to Genesis chapter 41. And we'll start at verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put his gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. Wow. Whoa, 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 whoa. Weren't in the same day he was in chains. I can't stop. I just got to stop for a minute. The same day he was in chains, now he's second in command to Pharaoh. Not just how much a day can change, how much can a moment change? Some of y'all in here right now are thinking, God, if something will soon happen, I'm going to die. No, you're not. And God's going to take care of you. Matter of fact, in a moment, it's going to change. Okay? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. Praise God. You got to have the Holy Ghost to say that. And he gave his wife, it gave to him wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Jesus went out, and Joseph, you had to have Jesus say it too. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. He was 17 when he went to prison. Wow. Stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through the land of Egypt. And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, laid he up the same. And Joseph gathered the corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph was born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, he said, hath made me to forget all my toil and all my father's house. Wow. And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land back home. In the land of my affliction. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church, Lord, these wonderful people, Lord. We're here today, God, not on our own, Lord, but we're here with you. Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing for us and through us and to us. And I ask you, God, to touch in a very powerful way, in a very fruitful way, God. Let today be a day of fruit bearing, Lord. Let today be a day when your name will be lifted on high. Let it be a day that when we leave this place, we'll leave with hope and encouragement. We love you, Father, and we praise your name, and we thank you for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. On the way down, touch somebody's hand, touch them, give them high five, low five, and say, the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing, and nothing, and nothing shall be impossible. Now, we try, every last one of us, we try everything within our power to protect ourselves. You say, oh, no, not me. Yes, you do. We try to protect ourselves from the pains of life. We try to protect ourselves from the hard times. We try to keep things on an even keel. We try to keep things where we're actually, we try to have in maintenance mode. At least we kind of feel kind of good all the time and try to feel super good as much as possible. How many enjoy being sad? How many enjoy being hurt? If you enjoy being hurt, come up here. I got a hammer. I'll hit your hand. We do not enjoy pain. None of us enjoy pain, although some of us act like we do. We really don't. The greatest pain of all is the pain of grief. That's the greatest pain anybody can take. It's when you've lost a loved one, when you've lost a job, you know. Well, I'll just go through and I'll start to explain it to you a little bit better here. Grief is the feeling of deep sorrow. It's mental anguish due to the loss of persons, your wife, your child, position. You've lost your job. You've lost, maybe somebody got promoted above you. You thought you had it going on and you find out that it wasn't going on. Loss of power. You thought you could get up and do it on your own. You find out you can't do it on your own. Whatever it is, grief is that deep feeling of sorrow, and every last one of us experience. I've done a lot of funerals again lately, and I've actually buried parents, but I've also buried children. And I watch, and as I bury parents, and I see the kids, I see the hurt in their eyes as I'm burying their parents, but I see this great hurt when the parents come to me and tell me, this should not be happening. I should not be burying my child. And so I see all this pain and this grief and this sorrow that happened to a lot of people, especially lately. It seems like this has just been a season of grief. And there's a lot of people, people are suffering from depression, and it seems to be an epidemic. And nobody, you can't say, well, it wouldn't ever happen to me. Don't ever say it would not happen to me. You know, Bethany last night was coughing. She was coughing her head off, praise God. And I was trying to help her, and we got her all kinds of medicines. And I said, well, you're about to drive me crazy with your coughing. Can you please stop? And this thing, I know, went. So don't ever think when somebody else is hurting, well, I couldn't hurt like that. Yeah, you can. Matter of fact, all it takes is one phone call. You know, I got a phone call. I met a guy that used to play for the New York Jets. And I wind up through the way God does things, I wind up preaching his mama or grandmama's funeral a couple years ago. Well, I got a text from him this morning. He hadn't texted me in over a year. And he texted me this morning and he said, Pastor, I really appreciate, you know, you being there with my grandmama when she died. You brought some hope through the words. And he said, I love Mighty Army. It's been inspirational. He said, I just want to let you know my daddy died this morning. You know, and so again, and he says that we're really hurt, and he said, but you showed me that we can be fruitful in the middle of this, and that really touched me because today, and then of course, Jeannie, she texted me this morning, and her and Wayne said they're kind of under the weather, but her sister-in-law died, and so so there's a lot of stuff going on, and there's a lot of reason for people to be. Grieving. Now, grief can be a process, but if grief's left is not taken care of properly, it becomes depression. And depression doesn't necessarily mean that you're sad, because sometimes people are not sad. They hold it good. They're sitting there smiling. They're laughing. I was talking with somebody just the other day who had just lost their wife, and they were laughing and carrying on and having a good time. And I said, how are you doing? And they said, oh, I'm doing great. And I said, it's me. Take down the mask and talk to me. And when I said that, all of a sudden that person went, you know what? I have lost my entire world. I feel like I'm going to die. I can't stand it. And he said, everybody else thinks I'm doing so great because I'm so happy and so getting along. I said, well, you do look kind of stupid, but that's okay. I was picking with him. And I laughed at him. I said, no, it's okay. If that's how you want to do it, do it. You want to laugh, laugh, whatever you want to do. Handle it your own way, but just know this, there's somebody that cares. His name is Jesus, and he's here with you in your pain. And I'm here, and I'll help you through your pain. And so again, here's this. Grief strikes. When it does strike, we go through a cycle. And here's the cycle. There's usually some say 4 steps, some say 7 steps, some say 12 steps, whatever. But here's how it works. Usually when something happens, the first thing is you say, you get a phone call, somebody just died. What's the first thing you say? Oh, no, it didn't happen. Okay, that's shock. Your body has a built-in shock absorber. God gives you a mental shock absorber that keeps you from exploding. So when you hear the bad news, you go into shock. It can't be. No, it's not so. Tell me it's not so. I need to check and find out. And then there's protest. God, why did you let this happen? And then there's despair. And there's sadness. And there's depression. And there's pulling away to yourself. But then there's resolution. There's an acceptance. And so again, when we're going through this thing, we got to know that all of us go through this thing. And maybe today, you may be in here today and you're experiencing loss. Now, the loss you may be experiencing may be financial security, health, career, your important relationships, maybe a loved one through death or through divorce. And you know, it's even said, and I'll tell this in counseling, that a marriage license, a birth certificate, and a death certificate or a divorcement is a death certificate. Because once there's a divorce, you literally die on the inside. Part of you is dead. And it takes a long time to get through all that and to work through that. So, but still, life is a series of gains and losses. And you know what? There's no way. Look at somebody and say, there's no way to live without experiencing loss. Tell somebody that. There's no way. But let me tell you something. There's no way to live victoriously without experiencing loss. And there's no way to live victoriously without learning to handle the loss and learning how to deal with the grief. So now we're going to talk about somebody I would think would be probably one of the greatest guys to talk about as far as somebody getting something they didn't deserve. You ever felt like you got something you didn't deserve? You ever felt like you had a loss in your life that you know you did not bring it on yourself? You did nothing for it, but here it is. And now you got to deal with it. So let's look at Joseph. Here's Joseph. Joseph, he's one of the 12 sons of Jacob and of Israel. And he actually, God has showed him that he's going to use him mightily. He doesn't quite understand. He's still a young boy. And I have to admit, he probably laid it on thick. Guess what? God showed me that all the corn's going to bow down to me and all the people are going to bow down to me. And his brothers already hated him because he was the favorite son. And so he winds up getting thrown first. They were going to kill him. But instead of killing him, they take him and they sell him as a slave. As a slave, he winds up going to Potiphar's house. But let me just go a little further in this thing here. Let's look at Joseph. How he learned how to deal with loss. What did he lose? You may be in this category right now. First, he lost his family. His brothers hated him. They sold him into slavery. And then being sold into slavery, watch this, listen very carefully. Being sold into slavery, he lost his childhood. Anybody here, I've heard people say it, I've lost my childhood. I shouldn't have had to do what I had to do. I had to take over and be mama to all these kids at 15. I had to take over a job and quit school and take care of my family at 16. So he lost his childhood. He had a job at Potiphar's house and doing good, but Potiphar's wife wanted him. And because she wanted him sexually, and he would not allow her, but she finally couldn't take it anymore, and she attacked him, he runs and gets in trouble, and she says that he attacked her. So he gets lied on, and he winds up in prison for 13 years. After he's in there for 11 years, he gives the baker and the butler interpretations to the dream, and they say, okay, well, one of you is going to die, and one of you is going to go back and be restored, and the one that the baker died, and the butler or the cupbearer, he goes back to the king. He says, I'll tell him about you, that you're a good interpreter of dreams. I'm going to tell him about how you've been done wrong. Well, the Bible says he got out and forgot him 2 more years. And have you ever had your hope? And then you think, here's my hope. I'm finally going to get out. And then the person that's going to help you forgets about you. So now, he's lost his dignity, he's lost his freedom, and lost his freedom all because of a lie. His brothers have lied. They've gone and told his daddy that he died. They sold him into slavery. His Potiphar's wife lied on him, and now he's in prison. And even in prison, they said, I'm going to tell the king about you as soon as I get out. And maybe it wasn't an intentional lie, but still, he forgot him. So all this is going on in his life. This is some heavy-duty stuff. Let me ask you, let me ask something. How would you feel if that was you? And it may be you right now. And so here's how he learned to deal with loss. How do you think he felt, you know, during all of this? You think he was angry at his brothers? You think he was angry at God? You think he was lonely for his family? I'm pretty sure that a little bit of all this happened in his life. Because remember, when you first start dealing with it, it hurts, and you've got to learn how to deal with it. And resolution is at the end of the grieving cycle when you learn how to handle it. So now, can you imagine that the pain and the loneliness that he spent? He spent some of the best years of his life locked up for a lie. Some of y'all in here are walking, you're driving, you go to work every day, but you're locked up, and it may be the same reason for a lie. You people see you perform, they see you, they look at you, but you got that mask on. If you can take that mask off, if you can look deep down inside, you'd see there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of hurt inside of you. And you're thinking, why do I have to experience this? And it's all because somebody forgot, or it's all because of a lie. So the best years are spent in prison. But in all that, the Bible tells us that Joseph never lost his faith. And in Egypt, he met the God of restoration. Some of us in here need to know that where you're at right now, God is watching. God sees you. He knows. You may have prayed this morning, God, this is my last time. I'm through praying. I'm through reaching out. God, if something don't get done today, I've had it. Let me tell you something. Our God is a God of restoration. That word restore means to bring something back into existence or effect. It means literally to bring something back to the former original condition, to put in a former place or position, or to reinstate and to return. Here's some. I love these scriptures. And I should have made you some so I could give them to you out the door. Psalm 23:3 says, He restores my soul. In the valley, He restores my soul. Jeremiah 30:17, But I will restore to you the health and heal your wounds. And Genesis chapter 2:2, the Lord will restore the splendor, or not 42:2, will restore the splendor of Jacob like the splendor of Israel. Through destroyers have I laid them waste and ruined their lives. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who were lost, those that were hurt, those that were burdened down, those that were lied on, those that were cheated on, those that have got something on them carrying a weight that somebody else should be carrying. We are taught to restore those who are fallen. Galatians 6:1-2. Let the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. God promises to make all things new. Now, watch this now. The blessings of forgetfulness. The name of Joseph's first son tells us something. Man's been in prison for 13 years. Matter of fact, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn with me quickly to Psalm 105. Psalm 105. We see pictures of Joseph in prison. He's walking around wearing a nice, you know, like he's wearing creased shirts and all this stuff in prison. That's not what happened. Joseph, when you see Joseph riding in a chariot, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see scars on his hands and on his ankles from fetters from being in that prison 13 years. How do I know that? Turn to Psalm 105, verse 17. Let's read verse 18 first. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Let me kind of translate that just a little bit. If you go into the original Hebrew, it says, his feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the iron. Wow. His soul entered into the iron. Now, you can take that one of two ways. You can think that as, well, that just took him, and all he thought was he going to be locked up for the rest of his life, or you can look at it this way. His soul entered into the iron, meaning this thing that was sent to hurt him strengthened him. Wow. His soul entered into the iron. And if you look at here, why would I say that? Because look at verse 17. It says, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. God sent him ahead. God was in control of this thing, not the famine. God was in control of this thing, not the other brothers. God was in control. And God knew that it was going to do something for him. What you're going through today, I guarantee you, you think different than you thought before you got in this situation. Especially if you've been in this thing any amount of time. If you've been in it for more than a couple of days, if you've been in it for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, a couple of years, you think differently. You see things differently. Your soul has entered into that iron. It's made you stronger. It's made you so much more than you would have been if you hadn't gone through this. You say, God, why did you allow this? Are you trying to kill me? And you don't understand that God's actually trying to equip you. Because what you got to go through now is going to help you when you go through something else to help somebody else. And so Joseph has gone through this 13 years in prison because of a lie, in fetters, in chains. But the Bible says, when he has his first child, he named him Manasseh. God has made me forget all my trouble, my 13 years in prison, for a lie. Forget all of Potiphar's wife, my brothers, my father's household. I'm gone all the way from the day I got out of prison. Remember, in one day, he wakes up, he's in fetters and chains, and the king has this dream, and the butler goes, oh, yes, right, there's a guy in prison that can interpret that dream, and he goes and takes him and calls him out, and he talks to him, and within a matter of hours, he is wearing the finest silk that Egypt has. And he's second in command only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, you're going to be the only one. I'm the only one you have to be talking or have to be responsible to. Everybody else has to be responsible to you. Wow. In just a matter of hours. So I'm going to go through this quickly. All right, get ready. Yeah. All right, get ready. I'm going to get your bat wings on. Healing, look, healing of painful memories. Listen now, this is where you got to catch this. This is the catch. And I can go right on through it. God has made me forget all my trouble and my father's house. Healing of your painful memories does not mean that you cannot recollect the past. That's not what it means. Healing of painful memories means that you can remember it without the feelings of crippling grief, loneliness, and despair. That's what it means when God heals your memories. Doesn't mean you don't remember it. It means now when you remember it, you can remember it with less pain. That's all it is. Do you know your brain never forgets anything? Oh, I know. I just said, did you forget something this morning? Actually, I had a friend of mine. He was 17. He ran under a truck, pulled out in front of him, and he ran up under the truck. And when he ran up under the truck, he was 17. The truck clipped him and took part of his head. He's laying there, and they're calling the rescue squad to come get him. While they're calling the rescue squad to come get him, he starts talking back when he was like 6 years old and got his first bike. And so he starts talking about getting that bike and how excited he was. And when they shifted him, he didn't start talking about some other experience. It was like he was taking all back into those experiences. You know that doctors can go in, and if he can touch certain parts of your brain, you can start remembering things. I'd love to have a little switch. Amen. Go to Walmart. What was I supposed to get? Oh, yeah. The brain never forgets anything. It permanently stores all information and all of your experiences. That's why sometimes you get in a situation and you don't even remember that you've been in it before. You don't even remember what happened back then. It's even been just wiped out of your mind. But have you ever just instinctively known how to handle a situation? It's because you've been through it before. Or have you instinctively, didn't even realize it, you see somebody start acting a certain way and all of a sudden it makes you feel sad. And you think, why is it making me feel so sad? Because instinctively, you don't realize it is right back in your brain, but you're remembering way on back. It shoots back to those feelings. That's why many times when people are, when you're being attacked, they're not attacking you. That stuff's all built up behind them. You're just the straw that broke the camel's back. Or you just happen to look like that person attacked them. Or you just happen to say the right thing at the wrong time. And all of a sudden, all that pain comes back and it gets dropped on you. You're thinking it's all you and it's not you at all. Because the brain never forgets. But Joseph was able to rise above this pain and he moved on with his life. So let's get ready to go. I've only got 25, 35, 45 more slides. See, I can't remember. God calls me to forget. Let me see. That's what some of y'all are saying now. God calls him to forget those slides. God calls him to. Okay. So watch this. I'm going to show you think, we're not like Joseph. Really? We're not like Joseph? Watch this. Here's what he overcame. First, he overcame a dysfunctional family. Anybody here got a dysfunctional family? Everybody raise your hands. Everybody. Yeah, two hands and a foot. Everybody in here has a dysfunctional family. Did you know that? There is no such thing as the Brady Bunch. Andy Griffith was a story. I was watching him in an interview the other day from back in the early 90s, and he said even though it was shot in the 60s, he said they tried to make you feel like you were back in the 30s. Okay? That's what he said. Wasn't that feeling? They're back in the 30s. But everything was so hunky-dory, everything felt so good. It didn't feel good back in the 30s, but in the 60s it made it feel good. Okay, so look, he was in a blended family. There was different children born to different mothers. There was intense sibling rivalry. His brothers despised him, plotted to kill him, sold him into slavery. His father failed to support his dream, so it felt like his whole family had rejected him. See, Jacob, although he's having all these kids and it's Israel, hey, guess what? They're not the Brady Bunch. It's not the model family. If anybody here thinks that one of us has got the model family, point to the person you think's got the model family, and he'll stand up and tell you, huh? You talking to me? All right. So look, so a dysfunctional family, a youth crisis. He spent his teen years in young adulthood in prison without godly role models, without suffering discrimination, rejection, and abuse. He had a crisis of faith. Although he served God, he went through extremely difficult circumstances. Does this sound like us? And emotional baggage. He dealt with intense negative feelings, doubts, resentment, fear. And so look, so when you add it all up, Joseph had every excuse he needed to cop out. He could say, God, I'm through with it. You can have it. Matter of fact, I am not afraid to say that some of y'all this week have either wanted to or went, all right, God. You can have it. I'm through with it. All right? But you know what? But he didn't. He allowed God to minister grace to him, so much grace that he got through this pain. Remember, when you forget the pain, it's not necessarily forget that it happened, but you can remember it without that pain, without that pain. So Joseph confronts the victim mentality of our day. The victim mentality blames everybody and everything for everything that's ever happened to him is somebody else's fault. Wow. So now, I've been there. I know y'all haven't, but I have. I've done that. Am I the only one? Okay, I just want to make sure we're all here together. All right. Okay. So now, he shows us that regardless of our upbringing, our environment, our poor role models, our poor influences, the people that we thought were supposed to help us that didn't, the people we thought were supposed to do something good didn't, the tragedy lost. He shows us that God's grace is sufficient. Y'all say that. God's grace is sufficient to help me forget all my troubles and move on to an abundant life. So see, God is the source of our inner healing, not other people. Don't think a new relationship's going to help you forget. Nah. Matter of fact, if you bring all that emotional baggage on into a new relationship, that new relationship, it's a psychological fact. If you and your wife split up and you remarry, and some of y'all don't even think about it and talk about y'all because I'm not, somebody's going to say he's been in our house. Usually within the second year of the new marriage, the trouble from the old marriage pops back up. That's not David. That's some guys a whole lot smarter than me. have done research over a whole lot of thousands of people and will tell you. So just thinking, a different relationship's going to make, no, you've got to let God heal you. See, God, he says this now. He says, God has made me to forget. God has made me to forget. Not man, not a new relationship. God. And this is what I want to drive home to you right now. God made me forget. He helped me release the pain, forgive those who hurt me, and recapture my dream. Okay? So watch this now. So what do you need to forget? Don't raise your hand. Don't give me any suggestions. Let's ask me a question. Ask you a question. What do you need to forget? You know, a lot of y'all have carried that memory long enough. The past has been weighed around your neck like an albatross, like a big old rock. God wants to bless you with the Manasseh. He wants to get you beyond your troubles. God wants to do something special in your life. But in order for Him to do it, you've got to let Him. So now, not only did God, this is the awesome part of this, all this. Not only did it be cool if you just said, God gave me a Manasseh and I forgot everything. I learned how to deal with the pain. That right there is worth a good night's sleep. That right there will help you. But that's not where God wants to leave you. God don't want to leave you just learning how to handle the pain. God wants to take you another step. And here's your other step. He doesn't want you just to forget. He wants you to be fruitful. And so here it is. God not only enables us to forget, but He gives us another blessing. He says, His second son, Ephraim, God has made me twice fruitful in the land of my suffering. He's made me twice fruitful in the land of my suffering. Now, I want you to remember that in your head. Twice fruitful in the land of my suffering. So here it goes. Here it is. Now, again, there is two key words here. Two key phrases. Twice fruitful. Joseph was blessed with a double portion. Joseph's kids were being blessed with a double portion. I want you to think about this. Joseph himself is not the oldest, so Joseph is not in line for the double portion. The oldest is. But God's going to give him a double portion, but He's going to give it to him through his son. He said, in the land of my suffering, the blessing of fruitfulness came while Joseph was still in the land of his suffering. He's still in the bad spot. Some of y'all remember that, what was it called? Brother, where art thou? And all George Clooney could say when they were burning down that house, we're in a bad spot now, boys. We're in a tight spot. Yeah, we're in a tight spot now, boys. What are we going to do? We're in a tight spot now, boys. They're shooting fire at us. We're in a tight spot now, boys. Okay, some of y'all today, I say, how you doing? I'm in a tight spot now, boys. All right, so look, you can be blessed right where you are. Wow. You don't have to get out of the negative circumstances in order to be blessed. Somebody say, praise God. You think if I could just get some of this weight off my shoulders, I'd be blessed. And God says, no, I want to bless you with the weight on your shoulders. If I could just find this person, or if I could just get this way and that way, and God says, no, I'm going to bless you in the mess you're in. Wow. Isn't that cool? So watch. Somebody say, ain't that cool? I know that's not proper English, but it'll be all right. So now watch this now. Let's get going here. I'm almost through. I know you say, oh, you don't think I am. I am. I want you to see this principle here, and then we're going to get ready to close. Israel's blessed 100-fold in the year of famine, Genesis 26 and 12. After Job prayed for his friends, the Lord made his way prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi Pleasant, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Ruth 1 and 20. The women said to Naomi, praise be the Lord, who this day hath not left you without a kinsman redeemer. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. I will repay you for the years that the locusts have eaten. You will have plenty to eat until you are full of age, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for you. Never again will my people be ashamed. I'll pour out my spirit. I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit. Wow. Wow. Let me ask you something. Again. What have you lost? Who have you lost? Are you being worn down with the coulda, shoulda, wouldas? I talk to so many people. Their number one thing is, I shoulda. What's going on? They tell me and I say, well, what you think's wrong? I shoulda. Guess what? If it's behind you, you can shoulda all you want to. All it's going to do is bring grief and pain. You see, God is present in the midst of your pain, and he offers you two gifts. He offers you first Manasseh. He will cause you to forget your pain. But also, he wants to give you an Ephraim. I want to give you a double blessing in the land of your suffering. Now, just here's my last slide. So if y'all are sitting here wondering, do we need to shout? If we shout, he'll keep on going. If we don't shout, he won't say another word. This is the last slide. Next to the last slide. The last slide just got a picture, okay? Isn't this good stuff? Here's the cool thing. Let's go back to Genesis 48. Okay, y'all don't have to turn back. I'm just gonna talk about it. When Israel, see right here, this picture right here, this is Israel. Israel's doing the blessings, okay? Why he's doing the blessings? He takes the two sons of Joseph. And the Bible says, as he's blessing them, he's going to give the blessing of the firstborn, of course, to Manasseh, and the blessing of the secondborn to Ephraim. And watch what happens. The Bible says he crosses his hands. Wow. Wow. He crosses his hands. Y'all get ready. You see, he was saying that Ephraim would be blessed twice as much as Manasseh. The double portion goes to the firstborn. Of course, I've never seen it. I'm the oldest in my family. I'm still looking for it. Okay. God wants our faithfulness to surpass our troubles. You say, well, how can it? How can the fruitfulness double my sorrow? It's simple. What Jacob was doing was saying, I know you've had a hard time, but when you apply the cross, one more time. I know you've had sorrow, but when God gets in it, and when you apply the cross, God can double your fruitfulness. How do I know? Because our Lord was on a cross. And after the cross, wow, look what happened. Some of y'all feel like you're on the cross now, but afterwards, it's going to be awesome. Boys, come on up here. Young men. God wants to give you a Manasseh and an Ephraim. God wants to help you forget. And part of that forgetting is forgiveness. You have to receive it for yourself, and you have to give it to somebody else. The hard part about forgiveness is sometimes you don't feel like you deserve it. to receive it, and sometimes you feel like you don't deserve to give it. But if you can learn the cross, wow. The cross. The cross. Right now, God says you haven't got to be in a better situation. He says, I want to take the situation you're in right now and I want to fix it to double bless you right where you're at if you'll just trust Him. Everybody stand. God loves you. God wants to bless you in so many different ways. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. See, we're going to get out of here well before the Baptists make it to McDonald's. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here right now, and you're saying, Pastor, I'm in this stuff I'm in right now. I don't understand it. It may be because of a lie. It may be because of something else. But I find myself in a bad spot, a tight spot. And I need God to help me. Just remember, Joseph's story is definitely a story from rags to riches, so to speak, in a matter of hours. It don't take God long to work. It doesn't even matter what conditions are, He can still work. Because that's the kind of God He is. He created the heavens and the earth. He calls the stars by name. He's got them all numbered. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're saying, Pastor, I've been kicked in the gut. I've been hit very low. I've been hit so hard that I honestly can't see the light of day, and I'm really needing God to help me. But would you just raise that hand? Nobody looking around. I just need God to do something for me. I need God to help me bless them, Lord. I need God to bless them, Lord. I need God to do something special in my life. Maybe you're here and you didn't even realize that God wants to give you a Manasseh and an Ephraim. And you're asking God to help you to forget, to help you to move on. And you're needing God to help you to birth that Manasseh. If I'm talking to you right now, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you raise that hand? I'm not going to make a bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. I'm not going to make an example of you. I'm just asking so I can pray with you. God, you need to help me give birth to a Manasseh. I need to give birth to a Manasseh. I need to give birth to a Manasseh. Maybe you're here today and you've had the Manasseh. Now you're looking for the Ephraim. Ephraim's coming. God will bless you right where you're at. You don't have to wonder how things are going to change and how things are going to work. He blessed Joseph right there where he was at, in that prison. Broken and forgotten, lied on, cheated on. He's laying there in chains, but his soul entered into the iron. It made him stronger. It did something for him that nothing else could do. It made him ready so that he could lead Egypt out of all this trouble. You don't realize stuff you're going through right now could be there so you can help lead somebody else through some very rough times. And God trusted you enough to allow you to go through it so that you could help somebody else. You ready for an Ephraim this morning? Nobody looking around, everybody's eyes closed. Put their hand up and say, I'm needing that Ephraim. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. God, let them see that Ephraim today. Let them feel that Ephraim coming this way, Lord. Father, I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. I love you. And I praise your name and I thank you for it. Now, if you need anything from God, if you raised your hand and want to come up, that's fine. If you didn't raise your hand, you want to come up. You have another need in your life. Come on up. Whatever the need is, come on up. Let's pray. Let's seek God. Let's trust Him. Let's trust Him. He's got an Ephraim and a Manasseh for you. He has a Manasseh and an Ephraim for you. Remember the cross. The cross. You say, how is it possible? Remember the cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Let the cross get in the way. God, I don't know how this is going to work out. You don't have to. The cross. The cross. The cross. The cross. Thank you, God. Help me be forgetful, Lord. Help me, God, to move on, Father. Help me, Lord, to move through it, Father. And help me with the fruitfulness right where I'm at, right in the middle of my pain. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Oh, come on up here and pray. You need to pray. Come on. Come on. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. God has caused me to forget. He's helped me to remember with less pain. He's helped me to move through and move on and move forward and remember that He's with me. And the cross. The cross has given me blessings. 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 Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Yes. Everybody put their hands up. Put your hands up. I want you to thank God. Just thank Him in your own way. Thank Him. God wants to give some of y'all Manasseh right now. He's giving the Manasseh to you. You're birthing the Manasseh right now. Some of y'all don't even realize it, but you're birthing the Ephraim right now. You're birthing an Ephraim right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Even when you think you're not worthy, you remember Joseph crossing those hands. Remember the cross. The cross. The cross is the reason. The cross is the reason. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. On high above the earth, Thou art exalted. Y'all sing it, so I don't have to. All other gods exalt Thee. Devil's starting to beat you up. Here's what I want you to remember. If you remember anything else, I want you to get this picture in your head of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh. And when Manasseh is supposed to get the double portion, crosses his hands. I'm not worthy, God. The cross says, Jesus is. God wants to give you a double portion. If you can learn to let God help you through the pain, if you can push through that pain and learn that God's got this. I don't have to live in pain anymore. God's got it. Yes, I was done wrong. Yes, I was lied on. Yes, things are terrible. But I don't have to live that way. The cross gives me a promise. Praise the Lamb of God. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, y'all. God is awesome all the time. Praise the Lamb of God. Anybody tell God's looking good today? With the exception of a couple of you. See, if I said, so one of y'all looked over and I said, you're looking good today. He said, he ain't looking over here. Okay, I just said, with the exception of a couple of you. All right. Everybody stand. God is awesome. Remember, wow, if that's not awesome. God is awesome all the time. All right, come back Tuesday night. We're talking about hope and anchors. And so this Tuesday night we'll be talking about different kind of anchors. But it's been really good because on Tuesday nights I've been giving you stuff so you can take it and use it to help other people. It's actually been a training. If nothing else, think of it this way as a training session. Because there's been a lot of training going on. You can take that stuff and I have people come to me and go, wow, I'm glad I was there because I got some stuff I needed the following week. Didn't even know I was going to need it. And there it is. Right there. So you're getting some heavy-duty stuff that's going to really be good. Amen? And, of course, this Easter is going to be awesome. I've got a special guy coming in from Emmaus. Some of the guys that went to Emmaus, remember that guy named Connie? Y'all remember Connie? It's a guy, not a gal. I know every time I say Connie, y'all think I'm talking about a girl. It's not a girl. It's a guy. I think his name is actually Thomas, but they call him Connie. And I don't know how that all... I ask him. I've been knowing the guy for 10 years or longer. Don't never ask him why, but, you know, I'll ask him so I can tell y'all why he's Connie. But Connie... Don't pick on him, though, because this guy used to work on cruise missiles. All right, so he's an awesome Connie. All right, we're going to have a special service on Easter Sunday morning. He's part of it. It's going to be awesome. You know, everybody says, how come we don't get a chance to sit out and enjoy and be blessed with the Easter service? This Easter service, other than the musicians and a couple, maybe some mimes, we're going to get a chance to be out here and be ministered to. All right? It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so. Just tell people something awesome's coming. All right? I can't tell you all about it because then I'll blow it. So just tell them something awesome's coming. All right? All right, Brother Steve, can you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father God, we just praise you and love you, Lord. We just thank you for what you do for us every day of our lives, Lord. We thank you for walking with us through the pain. And, Lord, we know there's a brighter day coming. And, Lord, we praise you for that. And Lord, we put our trust in you. And Lord, bless each and every one that's here today. Just touch them and go with them, Lord. And just walk with them throughout the day. And bless them mightily. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.